John chapter 14 tonight. Notice with me as we come to verse 13 and verse 14. We find here in verse 13 and 14, we're going to title this a message tonight in this Upper Room Discourse. This is our fourth message in this chapter. We're going to title this The Promise of Answered Prayer. We find here in verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Heavenly Father, we do thank thee again for the privilege you've given us to assemble together and to look into thy word and to sing the songs of Zion and to gather around the altar here with one another and pray. Lord, we pray tonight thy blessings to be upon the service here and your blessings to be upon the reading of Holy Scripture, and that thy Spirit would speak to our hearts, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's a few sections here I was going to move a little bit quicker, but not tonight. I've been deeply humbled to the point of tears to see what God has done for us today. And I asked him this evening when the sun came out and the clouds were starting to move away, I asked the Lord to not ever let me forget this day. You know, we just went through a smaller storm about 6 weeks ago, and it cost us a couple of days' work here with limbs and shingles and so forth. And in the last week with this storm, and we want to make sure that we pray for the people in the path. This storm is in another state, still as a Category 2, I believe it is, or 3, one or the other. And we do want to pray for those that are in the path of this thing for the next couple of days. But as I was thinking about this, I've prayed, I've walked around this building, and when your shingles are as bad as these are and old as these are, and you don't have insurance, and I told Brother Avery, for the last 10 years, I have learned to pray much more. It's easy to overlook things when you are covered in every area in your life. You don't really have to trust God that much. But I've just been amazed. We were in the cone up until about 2 days ago of this storm, and I'm very thankful that God has spared us no rain, no wind all day long. Very thankful for that, and to see the sun come out this evening. So I pray that he'll never let us forget that in drier and cooler weather, and we are going to get some fall weather starting tomorrow night. Amen? Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, notice with me as we come here to our text, I want to remind you that in this chapter is designed to bring comfort and hope to the disciples in view of the Lord Jesus Christ's soon coming death and his departure from them as he would return back into heaven. So he leaves many promises. And we've already looked a few of these promises. We've seen the promise of his return in verses 1 through 4. We've seen the promise in verses 5 through 7 of eternal life. We've seen last week the promise of greater works that we would do. And we spoke about that a little bit tonight, the promise of answered prayer. And we see the promise as we read on through this chapter of his love. We see the promise of the Holy Spirit coming, which did on the day of Pentecost, and we also see the promise of peace. Now, we focused in last week on verses 9 through verse 12, and we really focused in upon two words in verse 12, and that was the title, Greater Works. Now, tonight, as we look at this passage, we want to focus in on the subject of answered prayer. Now, just earlier in the summer, May and part of June, I preached a 5-week series on prayer, And one of them was from this text, and we'll review just a little bit and on that here tonight. But notice with me, as we read this again, he says in verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name." Now I want you to think about that expression. The phrase, "in my name," is used 6 times in the upper room discourse. It's used in here in verse 13 and verse 14. It's also used in verse 26 in reference to the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then it is used in chapter 16, verse 23, 24, and 26 in reference to prayer. So 5 times in this one setting, this one upper room discourse, the expression "in his name" is used 5 times in reference just to prayer alone. Now, we find here in verse 13, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Now notice the connection here. "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." Now notice the following: "that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And then he says again in verse 14, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, this is the first time in the Lord's earthly ministry that we find reference to praying in his name. In other words, he's speaking to them. They have not prayed in his name up until this point. He has been with them, and they could speak with him personally. And so he's speaking in this upper room, and he's basically saying, after the crucifixion and after the ascension, he will assist them from heaven as they would pray. In other words, in heaven, Christ would be on his throne, and their prayers would get answered. In heaven, he will represent them before the Father. We see that in many places. And then in heaven, he would make intercession for them. And again, we see that in many places as well. So what he's saying here in this chapter, that he will no longer be with them personally. So they will be praying directly to the Father in his name. And so we find that as we come to chapter 16, I want you to turn there just for a moment and notice that this is used again. And I'm trying to look here to see. I'm going to begin reading in verse 16, I believe. I'm going to read several verses. And notice as we read through this, and I did cover this a few months ago, but he speaks of their sorrow and their joy, in other words, the death and his resurrection. And notice with me as we come here to beginning in verse 16. He says, "A little while, and you shall not see me, and again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith, A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto him, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me. Verse 20, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Notice he's speaking of their sorrow and their joy. The sorrow is centered around him going to the cross and dying. Their joy will be in his resurrection when they see him again. Verse 21, A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. in verse 22. Now here we see this expression used about three times. Verse 22, "And you know therefore and have sorrow, but I will see you again," in other words, in resurrection, "and your hearts shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs," that's like speaking in parables, "but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that time you shall ask me in my name." Let me back up. "At that time you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." I'm going to stop reading right there. Now, the reason I turn to read this section, we have the expression of praying in his name. And you notice in verse 23, he says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." So in this passage, when we get into the book of Acts, after his resurrection and ascension, they'll go directly to the Father, but it will be in his name. You'll notice with me in verse 24, "Hitherto," in other words, that's like saying up until now, up until this point. What he does, he adds something. He added an element to prayer. Now they can pray in his name directly to the Father. Verse 24, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." And then in verse 26 through 28, he says, "At that day ye shall ask me in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and I'm come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." In verse 26 through 28, you find that he's saying to them, you can go directly to the Father in my name. They don't have to really ask him anything, but they're praying to God. If you remember months ago, I preached some message to how praying in the Spirit, praying unto the Father, Jesus praying, and then praying in Jesus' name. I think there were five sermons total. And then in verse 29 through 33 in chapter 16, we see here the promise of victory that he would give them. So when the Holy Spirit would come, that we see in the upper room teaching, when the Holy Spirit would come, Christ would be absent from them. He would be in heaven, the Holy Spirit here, and then they would begin petitioning the Father in his name. Now go back with me to chapter 14. And notice with me, let's read, we don't realize how important these verses really are. And he says here in verse 13, he says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, a name represents a person. We know that. It speaks of one's worth, of one's character, and it speaks of authority and power. Now, this is not a formula to be tacked on to the end of a prayer. Many people think that it is. And it is not a blank check that we can fill in, that we can fill out and get anything that we want. I dealt with this, like I say, months ago. It is not some magical words that we can repeat. and it's going to come to pass. This is not saying that we can just speak anything we want into existence. There's certain denominations that there are people in those denominations that they pray and they say, okay, it's going to be. And I've heard this so many times. This is not just invoking his name. So what does it mean? Well, one thing we find in verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, we find that everything that the Son did, he glorified the Father. We looked at that a little bit last week in verse 9, 10, and 11. In his words and in his works, everything that he did was according to the will of the Father. He came here to glorify the Father. And this is why, and I'm not asking you to turn there, but this is why we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is exactly what Jesus Christ did. On earth, all that he did was to bring glory unto the Father. We see this in chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. We see this in chapter 13, verses 31 and 32, and we've already covered that. Again, those verses say, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. All that Christ did was to glorify the Father. Now, this is a promise of answered prayer. But as I told you months ago when we looked at some of these verses as well as other verses, we must qualify what he's saying in the context. And he says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Then again, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So let me remind you of just a few thoughts here this evening. And notice with me in chapter 15, if we want answered prayers, then we must abide in Christ, must bear fruit. Notice as we come to chapter 15, we find that Jesus is the true vine, beginning in verse 1. But notice he mentions about abiding in him in verse 4 and 5. And in verse 6, says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they burn them. Verse 7. Now, verse 7 and verse 16 are the two verses I want to take from this passage. Now, again, we pray sometimes, and we don't see our prayers answered the way that we think they ought to get answered. And there's reasons for that. We pray sometimes, and we see God answer prayers exactly the way that we prayed them. Well, again, and I'm going to really emphasize, as I do every time I deal with this subject, we must pray so that the Father and Son would be glorified. Now, think about that. I don't believe that God is going to bless or put his name to something just because we want to repeat it. In other words, don't ask God to bless something that he would not put his name to. I guess that'd be the best way to put it. Because, can you imagine, what if God did give us everything that we asked for? Amen? We'd find out that it wouldn't always be a great thing. Because we ask for many things, and I've asked for things and never get it, and find out later if I had got it, it would probably destroy me. Now, so we find here, if we want answered prayer, in verse 7 again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Abiding in Christ. When we get to this, we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to this chapter. But we need to abide in him. And not only that, in verse 16, he said, "And you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you." And so we need to abide in him, bear fruit as we go to the Lord in prayer. Another thing that we need to pay close attention to is notice a very familiar passage, at least in this church, because usually when I preach on prayer, I'll at least mention it, and that's in 1 John chapter 5, if you'll turn there with me. In 1 John chapter 5, very important verse that we should always keep connected with John chapter 14, the same writer, by the way, of both of these books. In 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to pick a reading up in verse 13. In verse 13, he said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now, the next two verses. And again, it's the same author. Okay? And he says here in verse 14 and 15, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." So we put these two. I've spoken with many people that will take John 14 out of context. And I've seen that happen many, many times. I've seen people get disappointed with God by reading John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, and ignoring 1 John chapter 5, or even ignoring John 15, verse 7 and verse 16 that we just read a moment ago. So as we read in John chapter 14, we must take this into account. And he said this, now notice this, verse 14 again, "And this is the confidence." You see, we have the assurance that God will answer prayer. "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he will hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." An amazing passage. We put these two together, and we'll not be violating any scripture. In other words, we must adjust our will to his will, praying according to his will. The Spirit, by the way, according to John 14, 26, will help us and lead us in our prayer, as in Romans 8, I believe it's verse 26, that the Spirit will aid us to pray properly and pray according to God's will. So again, don't ask God to bless what he could not put his name to. Notice with me in the same book, 1 John chapter 3. And in 1 John chapter 3, we find here in verse 22, he says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And this, and he goes and lists verse 23 and 24, "And this is the commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Here we find something else added. Not only abiding and bearing fruit, as in John 15, and not only praying according to God's will, as in 1 John 5, but here he speaks of us as keeping his commandments in this passage. And again, we find this in John 14. Probably next week or the week after, we'll be into a section dealing with the fact, if we love him, keep his commandments. We can also say, if we want answered prayer, keep his commandments and abide in him, bear fruit, and pray according to his will. These are not really complicated. Notice in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Here's a promise here of a prayer. He said in James chapter 1, reading in verse 5 through verse 8. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Again, there's another promise. And he said in verse 6, let him ask in faith. Now think about this. We must ask in faith. And he said, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Maybe we're not praying in faith. Maybe we're double-minded and we are unstable even when we get on our knees and pray. So we have another promise here if we pray in faith. But notice in James chapter 4. In James chapter 4. And I won't not turn to the book of Hebrews, but we have a high priest sitting at the right hand of the Father, which gives us access to heaven and to the Father. You can write down, we've just read these in the last week, Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. He maketh intercession for us. Hebrews 8, verse 1 also says this, and Hebrews 7, verse 25 and verse 26. Christ is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. So we pray by the Spirit directly to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the triune God that we serve. And that's a wonder. Think about the promise that we have that a lost person does not have. The triune God. I think about when the Apostle Paul closed the second letter to the Corinthians. He said in chapter 13, 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. We have the triune God. And so we pray to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. And so we are praying by the power and the authority of Christ's name. So you and I, by having the Holy Ghost dwelling in our bosom and our Savior seated at the right hand of the Father, we can go directly to the Father and bring all of our petitions and our requests and our praise to Him. Notice with me in James chapter 4. James 4. Let me give you three other verses in reference to the Son. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, we are accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in the Beloved. In Ephesians 2:18, we have access to the Father through the Son. And then in Ephesians 3:20, really 14 through 21, we have assurance of answered prayer. Because in that text, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the subject of prayer, and he says in verse 20, now he's dealing with prayer from verse 14 through 21, but he says in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Again, we got the triune God, not only involved in our salvation, as we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, but we have the triune God involved every time that we go before Him and pray. That's an amazing thing when you think about it. Well, notice here in James, we'll close here in this passage, and I'm going to be reading verses 1, 2, and 3. And I want you to notice two reasons in this passage that we don't have prayer answered many times. These are not the only reasons. But in James chapter 4, he said, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members?" See, war comes from within. Anger, fightings, oppositions, all these things, they come from within. Now notice in verse 2, he shows us one reason that we don't get answered prayers, because we don't ask. He said in verse 2, "You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because ye ask not." Many times we don't have things happen in our life like we think they should, is because we don't go to the Lord and seek Him. We don't pray. Another reason is that we pray amiss. Notice in verse 3. He said, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." The word amiss, to ask amiss, means that to pray wrongly or improperly or selfishly. It's praying the wrong way, praying with the wrong motives, and praying for the wrong things. In other words, it's not praying according to God's will. Well, I didn't plan this way tonight, but I'm glad we've landed in John. No way a week ago I could have predicted that we would have this storm in the Gulf, but I'm glad it all worked out this way, that we are in the subject of prayer tonight. And again, this has really been humbling today, to pray all week and to just see God spare, you know, us again. And I'm very grateful and thankful for that. And we want to pray for all those that are in the path of the storm for the next number of days and tonight as we gather around the altar. Would you stand with me tonight? Father, we do thank Thee for Thy love and mercy and kindness to us. And Father, we thank Thee that we can come before Thy throne, into Thy presence, in the name of the Lord Jesus and through the Holy Ghost that dwells within. And Lord, tonight, as requests are brought up, we pray. We'll pray for each of those and to bring them before Thee. And we pray for those in the eye of this storm, God, for Your protection and blessings upon each and every one. But Lord, we praise Thee for the many prayers that You have answered, and many of the prayers that we never thank Thee for. And tonight, Lord, we thank Thee for this day, and for Thy mercy and Thy kindness, and for Thy love that You've shown upon us. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.